Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Rugby with Pads podcast. You're here for the Week 11 waivers show. But first, before we start that, let's talk about this weekend. I'm recording this on a Monday, so we've seen all the Sunday night games, and wow, there were some good games. This weekend started off a bit drab with a Thursday night game, Falcons versus Panthers, but quickly picked up. I didn't watch the Buccaneers versus Seahawks in the very early slate. Over in Germany, but did see the highlights. It was an interesting game, but boy, did the rest of the game give the rest of the games give us something to talk about. I'm not going to do any spoilers here, but yeah, if you haven't watched them already, go and watch Vikings Bills, go and watch Lions Bears, avoid Broncos Titans. That was awful. The Browns Dolphins was a great performance, but by the Dolphins. Colts Raiders was even interesting, and the Cowboys Packers was a great game that you probably need to go and see as well. Everything, such late drama across the board. And I think week 11 will go down in the books. So week 10 will go in the books as one for the ages in terms of drama and great football. But that's not what we're here to talk about today. We're here to talk about fantasy and your week 11 waivers coming up. But we will have to take a look at, you know, our kind of new slate of segments here, and sorry, I'm getting used to this one, but we'll look start with our fantasy heroes and villains for week 10. Now, if you haven't gone and looked at the box scores for your relevant games, go and take a look at them now, make sure you're comfortable with them, and then come back and then we'll talk about the actual games and people themselves. So I'll give you a second. All right, you've gone and done that. Brilliant. All right, let's start out with our heroes, and I'm doing one at each position. And I'm going to start out with Justin Fields. What a game that guy played. He was amazing this week. For fantasy, obviously, it was a real shame that he couldn't put together that last drive. But it shows you don't have to be a winning quarterback to be great for fantasy. He scored 40-plus points in most formats. 12 for 20, 167, 2 TDs, 1 interception, 3 sacks. Not great on that front, but that wasn't where he got his points. All his points came from 13 carries, 147 yards, 2 TDs. This guy's a revelation, and teams do not know what to do with him. Yes, he was playing against the Detroit Lions. They're a defense that I think has regressed back to the mean. They didn't play badly, but they didn't play great. You know, after all, they let 30 points come by, and that shows that they are a below-average team in general, but so is Chicago. And Justin Fields in a below-average team, going up against below-average teams, is a matchup that you just want a piece of. So he is my superstar. He was my start of the week going into this week. I picked him up in my league of record, which is the new way I'm referring to our home league. And he was just absolutely fantastic. So he is my first fantasy hero of the week. And we're just going to talk about good players. I like talking about good players. It's fun. And we're going to talk about a near record-breaking performance from Justin Jefferson. Yes, he was outscored in PPR by CeeDee Lamb, but I watched this game from start to finish, the Vikings Bills, and Justin Jefferson put on an absolute clinic. The fact that he made catches, I think it was, he made 9 catches where the expected catch percentage was less than 50%, which means those 50-50 balls, he was having the worst time of it in position, what have you, and he made them. He made 9 of those in the game. He made 10 receptions in all for 193. 1 TD, but he kept them in that game. It was him and Kirk Cousins were on another level in terms of their communication, their understanding with each other. It was an absolutely great game from him. And yeah, I look forward to watching him play. And if you went up against him, that's tough. 35 points. There was a lot of really good wide receiver performances this week. CeeDee Lamb I mentioned as well. But yeah, that was good. The running backs didn't really perform as well as they have done in previous weeks. We haven't seen a couple of players yet, but you know, I don't think there's going to be anything to really surprise us here. CMC did okay. There were some great performances elsewhere, but the one I'm going to pick on is actually Justin Jefferson. Not Justin Jefferson. We'll talk about him. It's just on the mind. Jonathan Taylor. Jonathan Taylor came back and was the Jonathan Taylor we all expected. Jeff Saturday apparently has galvanized them enough that they are reliable, I guess. When JT is given the ball, he is really good. There was one play where he ducked under two linemen and drove for 9 yards just before the end of the quarter to go down with a timeout and secure a 3 points, a field goal. It just typified his play. He was always going to get positive yardage, and he was a great, great player this week in real life and in fantasy as well. Probably your best option. And you know, he maybe is buying back some of that love that he got for being the 101 this year. And finally, on my heroes, we're going to go with Cole Kmet. Wow, Cole Kmet. he's been a revelation. I talked about him last week as well. Maybe it's that just Justin Fields, Cole Kmet connection, which is galvanizing the whole team. But he was absolutely fantastic. 4 receptions, 74 yards, but he was the 2 TD man. He was targeted 7 times. He probably a couple of times in coverage where he wasn't going to get it. But when he was open for a touchdown, he was so open. And again, maybe that's just the Detroit defense not being the greatest. I feel really happy, by the way, in that game, because all the players that I had in that game did well, and Detroit got a win, and that's a feel-good story there. But yeah, what a game from Cole Kmet. 23 points on the week in half PPR, so you're really happy if you started him. Moving on to fantasy villains, we've got top of the tree. I really don't like to put him here because I think he's a great player. He just didn't do well this week. Justin Herbert. Lots of Justins going on here. We've got Fields and Jefferson, and now Herbert in the mix, but in the wrong column here. Justin Herbert, 12 points on the game. Just didn't have the supporting cast around him. Eckler wasn't being himself. DeAndre Carter isn't. He's not Mike Williams. He's not Keenan Allen. Josh Palmer isn't either of them either. He just didn't have the weapons around him. And San Francisco did enough. It was weird because the Chargers led for a good proportion of the game, but then didn't score anything in the second half. So yeah, I'm not really sure what happened there. I need to go back and review the tape. But yeah, unfortunately, Justin Herbert, because you had such high expectations of you. Well, not great. And comparatively to your opposite man, Jimmy Garoppolo, who has a 10-0 record in games where he doesn't throw a touchdown. Weird stat. But yeah, you should have been so much better for us. We have such high hopes, and I particularly had such high hopes, although mainly on losing teams. But regardless, one of those funny games for him. Let's chalk it up to he's only a villain this week, hopefully. We do have a pantomime villain though in Chase Claypool, a top three receiver according to him and potentially his mum. But Mapletron did not perform well. I could have put Cooper Kupp here because he got injured and he has even higher expectations, but Chase Claypool is just the pantomime baddie that we all love to hate. 1.8 points on the week. Oof, that's tough sledding, especially when you've got the move that you wanted. At running back, it was a weird week for running backs. I could have put a lot of really high end running backs, but you know, in a week where it's all a bit subdued, I've got to go with the guy who was just disappointed the most, and it's Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He disappointed me the most. I should know better. I really should. I keep playing him. I don't know why, but 4 snaps on the week, 0 points. Maybe I'm the villain. Maybe I'm the villain here in this story. And finally, you've got Robert Tonyan, who came into this week as Green Bay's highest rated receiver, and he disappeared. 1.8 points for him as well in a game where Christian Watson scored 100 yards. A game where Aaron Rodgers didn't throw it too much. There was a lot of running from Aaron Jones, and he could have been on the heroes list had he got a few more points on the board there. But yeah, Robert Tonyan just disappeared into the mix. He only got 1 target, which means he probably wasn't getting free. He was using the run game a lot. But for fantasy, that doesn't matter. We just care about your points on the board. So yeah, running back, heroes, Justin Fields, Mr. Jefferson, Jonathan Taylor, and Cole Kmet. Oof, great wins. Well, not wins for you, but necessarily. But great games from you. And unfortunately, we'll have to maybe try and forget this week for Justin Herbert, Chase Claypool, CEH, who is perpetually a villain, potentially, and Robert Tonyan. So, yeah. I think this week, it was a weird week for predictions as well. I had mixed outcomes. There were players who scored above the mean, who I thought weren't going to do great. Mostert did particularly well. Ken Walker didn't do great, but did good enough if you're in most of your competitions. I did hit on Derrick Henry just not performing. Again, I thought that attack was going to be very one-sided, but then Nick Westbrook-Akina pops in to be 119 yards, I think it was, this week. Yeah, and he'd been invisible for most of the season. And everyone else just kind of middled out a little bit. So I'm not really sure if I kind of won or lost on my predictions, but we'll keep tracking them for the time being. But yeah, without further ado, let's stop rabbiting on and we'll get on into the waivers. Into waiver wire talk then. Let's have a look who's on a bye this week. So we've got a couple of the people who were travelling this week. So we've got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Seattle Seahawks coming all the way from Germany. They've been afforded a bye this week as well. We also have Tua and his Berry Brigade on a bye, and elsewhere in Florida, we've got Jacksonville Jaguars available as well, which means in your QB market, you're missing out on Tua, Geno and Brady. I will say Brady is fantasy relevant because he's Brady. In wide receiver, it is hard. You're going to be hit pretty damn hard here. We're missing out on Tyreek, Waddle, DK, Lockett to an extent, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, and I'm going to include in here because he did really well this week. He scored 20 plus points. Christian Kirk as well. At the running back position, you're losing out on Ken Walker, Etienne, and whoever is playing at Tampa. I think people were saying it's Rashad White season. I didn't see it on the field as much, but yeah, he's definitely a feeling that he could become something. I don't know what that something is yet, but he could be something. At tight end, you're missing out on Noah Fant and Evan Engram, who again, I think are both kind of just under the radar. They're low-key good starters there. You're not missing out on any reliable defenses, so there's nothing there really. But yeah, it's going to be a difficult week, especially at wide receiver. So if you haven't already planned ahead, and I'm a firm believer of not planning more than a week or so ahead unless you're going for the playoffs, you might be struggling a little bit. But if you had Tyreek, DK and Evans, who are you drafting with? You've got three first rounders there potentially. So anyway, right, let's move on into the waiver wire pickups for this week at QB. There's some interesting names here, and some names that maybe go under the radar but being serviceable. And I'm going to start with someone who is not going to be impactful but is going to be available if you need someone as a spot starter. Say you've been running with Tua and Geno and you need someone and everyone's wiped off. Davis Mills is a safe pair of hands. He hands it off a lot. He checks down a lot. But he's available in 99.5% of leagues, and I don't think he necessarily should be, because I think he's better than we give him credit for. He's in a bad side, and especially if you want a dynasty stash, I think he could be interesting. They might move away from him, but I think he's earned himself enough to be a better than average starter in some places, and at the very, very least, a good backup in others. But you know, on some more recognisable names, Jared Goff is still available in three quarters of leagues. He's only rostered 23% of leagues. The Detroit Lions are good. I don't know why they're good. At 3-6 now. I'm trying to think how many weeks they've been. Yeah, they're 3-6 now. They're better than off of fantasy anyway. They're better than they look. They're better than they should be anyway. So I would be looking towards Jared Goff, and he's been serviceable. I've picked him up in a couple of places, and he's not killed me. That he will always have that one week where he will kill you, but I don't think this week is going to be one of them. Detroit are going up against New York. New York have a stiff defense, but it bends. So yeah, I think he's a spot start for you in case you need it. On someone who has fallen off the radar a little bit, but I put him in here because he's very available. Mac Jones for the Patriots. If you want someone, or if you're playing in a league where you get points per caught ball, if that makes sense, so point per completed pass, he's efficient, but I would say he is going up against the New York Jets, who have a very, very stiff secondary, so I'd be a bit cautious there. And finally, you have Kenny Pickett. I think Kenny Pickett was really good this weekend. He passed the eye test. Yeah, he's going to throw you some interceptions, but I think he'll throw enough touchdowns. I think he will do, and him and George Pickens look like they're doing something interesting together, and I really like it. They're going against Cincinnati, who don't have the toughest of secondaries, so he can throw it on them probably. Najee and Jalen Warren seem to be a good punch, so a good 1-2 punch. So I'm liking the looks of Kenny Pickett, and I'm going to be keeping an eye on him in some of my deeper leagues. Inter-division rivalry here, all weird things can happen. But Kenny Pickett, I think for the long term, I think he's turned out to be pretty good. At running back, though, he is a dumpster fire. I was sifting through names to see if there was anyone I would say, yeah, he's a good one to pick up. And there's not. Everyone that you've got on your roster is all you're going to get. You're not missing out a huge amount this week. Ken Walker and Etienne, I think, would have been drafted as your RB2, so you're probably still holding on to your RB1. You're probably still at someone else, but there was no one who jumped out off the page to me and who I said, you know, it was really good. I had penciled in here one of the Broncos running backs who jumped out, and they're all rubbish. None of them did. Gordon is the only one I can recommend, but he's likely rostered in your league already. He's 70% rostered. He's not good, though. 11 points on the week. I suppose in relief, it's okay. Latavius got 8 points in relief, but again, no one's good. Gordon was the leading rusher, and he had like 50 yards. It was an awful, awful game from all of them, so avoid like the plague. And Edmonds, who is more rostered than Latavius by like a factor of 4, scored like 1.3 points or something like that. Avoid like the plague. I'm going to keep hammering on the Gus Bus. That was a weird bus noise. But the Gus Bus, Gus Edwards, he's a good running back, and it's going to be in a good running team. If you want a piece of that, go get him. He's available in 80% of leagues. Yes, he's been injured, but he will come back and he will be good eventually. I'm going to keep saying it until he actually is. A wide receiver, there was some names that I had on my list, but and I kind of wanted to put in here, but I can't find anyone who excites me. And it's getting to that point in the season where you know the players and you're going to keep them. There were, however, two exceptions, or actually one exception. I had on my shortlist Darius Slayton and Wan'Dale Robinson. Darius Slayton took hold of that backfield. He wants to be the wide receiver one out there. He is rostered in 0.6% of leagues. He scored 19 points in the week. He was the find that none of us found. We all thought it would be Wan'Dale Robinson, and he ends up running backwards a lot. There was a weird play where it was an end around and a throw, but it wasn't, and he just got swallowed up. He's not prepared for this. I think the experience in Darius Slayton comes out over Wan'Dale Robinson. Let's say that. So yeah, he's probably going to be my sneaky sleeper pickup of the week. And yeah, he's going up against a weak defense in the Detroit Lions. So I think he's going to be my pickup of the week. So yeah, go get him. Scored 19. I think he's going to have some play there. Yeah, it's going to be a running game over there. They run Saquon into the ground so much so that we see Matt Breida on the field. Who thought we'd see Matt Breida again? But yeah. Outside of that, you've got Garrett Wilson. You might be able to pick him up because he's coming off the bye. He is the wide receiver one out in there in Jets land. He's only available in 30% of the league, so it's not really a pick. And you might have been able to pick up Brandon Cooks off the waiver wire if he'd been rage dropped by someone who thought he was throwing his toys at the pram. He did. He got stripped of his captaincy. He still got a touchdown rescinded, though, drawn back from a penalty. He's still good. So, but he's available in 20% of the leagues because people have rage dropped him. It's dropped from 95%. So I put him on here as an honorary mention. And yeah, I was going to recommend Terrace Marshall, but I think with the quarterback play out there for the Carolina Panthers, you just avoid it like the plague. And at tight end, again, it's always a dumpster fire, but I think there are actually some nice names who I want to talk about. David Njoku is coming back from injury. He's 6% rostered, which means it's a 1 in 3 chance that you can get him. Go get him. He's a tight end one in this situation. Outside of that, we've got Cole Kmet. He's available in 60% leagues. He's a tight end one at the moment. With the way Justin Fields is playing, he is a tight end one. Go and get him. Then we've got Isaiah Likely, who outshone before the bye. Again, he's going up against... who's he going up against? He's going up against Carolina. That feels like easy pickings. Yeah, they're probably going to run it a lot, but they feel like Mark Andrews is more involved in that game than he is involved in the passing game, which opens up for Isaiah Likely a lot. So I would go and get him. He's available in about 3/4 of leagues. And finally, Logan Thomas. It's not Monday yet. We haven't had the Monday night game, so I'm yet to see how it goes, but he's back from injury. He was given a big old contract. I've always said follow the money. Yeah, sometimes I get it right, sometimes I don't, but I think he could be an interesting play. He is the one who has that tight end two, tight end one upside, who is available in most of leagues. He's available in 90% of leagues, so you can go after him. So my pick of the week this week would be Darius Slayton. Go and pick him up. After that, I'd say out of the quarterbacks, Jared Goff feels like the one who jumps off the page to me. At tight end, Cole Kmet definitely jumps off the page to me. And at running backs, pick up someone who's breathing, I think is probably the ask. It's a bit of a weird week coming up. But with that said, that is your lot for this week. It's a short and snappy episode for you. Thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate it. Good luck if you need a miracle on Monday night. And I will see you on Thursday or Friday. Find me on socials at Rugby with Pads. And I will see you on the virtual gridiron.